The first lesson is from Leviticus 18, verses 1 through 5, and 19, 9 through 18. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, 'I am the Lord, your God.' You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt, where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan, to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest, and you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired man or a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. But you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. But in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And we'll read Psalm 41 in your bulletin responsively. "Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land.
You do not give him up to the will of his enemies.
The Lord sustains him on his sickbed.
In his illness, you restore him to full health.
As for me, I said, 'O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you.'
My enemies say of me in malice, 'When will he die and his name perish?'
And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words while his heart gathers iniquity. When he goes out, he tells it abroad.
All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me.
They say, 'A deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies.'
Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me.
But you, O Lord, be gracious to me. Raise me up, that I may repay them.
By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me.
But you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen.
The second lesson is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ and Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed to the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you. Since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, The one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, You go and do likewise.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated, and I invite the children that are present to come up for a children's message. Broward, good evening. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
Doing well? In our gospel reading that I just read, there's a lawyer, and he had a question for Jesus, and he wanted to know what the rule is for getting into heaven, inheriting eternal life. So I brought a ruler with me tonight. Because what do we use a ruler for?
Measuring,
exactly. We need to know what is it that we need to do and what is it that we need not to do. You probably heard that in the first reading that Daryl read. Do this, do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Those are called rules, and they kind of, measure us, right? They measure us. So the lawyer, you know what a lawyer is? Yeah, you know what a lawyer is. You know what they do? They know the law, right? Right? And we usually think of a lawyer in a courtroom. But this particular lawyer in Jesus' day, the law that he knew frontwards and backwards was the Torah. Can you say Torah?
Torah.
Torah is the first five books of the Bible. They're written by Moses. We call them, repeat after me, okay? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the Torah. That's the law, right? So he says, Jesus, what do I need to do if I'm going to get into heaven and have eternal life? And Jesus says, you know the law. What does the law say? You see what he was saying? Don't go to the courtroom and ask a judge. Don't see what the statute in Minnesota or Rochester is, but he said, go to your Bible, because the lawyer in Jesus' day knew the Bible, memorized the Bible. All those five books, this lawyer, he knew every single word of them, and he gave the answer to Jesus, and then he had a second question, but who's my neighbor? And did you remember what Jesus did when he asked that question? He told them a story. We call them a parable, right? Anybody know what that parable is called? It's the story or the parable of the... Did you hear that? The what? The Good Samaritan. Now, in Jesus' day, if you were a Jew, you didn't know any Good Samaritans. But who's the hero of that story? There's three people that saw somebody lying in a ditch, almost dead, that had been beaten and robbed, and two of them were good, good church people, right? I mean, look out here. You see all these good church people? And you know what those two did? They left that guy in the ditch to die. But who helped him? The Good Samaritan. Can you believe it? And so Jesus said, go and do likewise. In other words, be a neighbor, right? You got a neighborhood you live in? Yeah, we all live in a neighborhood, right? And Jesus says we need to be a good neighbor, to love God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor the way God loves our neighbor. You know who got us out of the ditch? We were in the ditch of sin, right? You know who came into that ditch on Good Friday on a cross? Who did that for us?
Jesus.
Jesus. He's our Good Samaritan. So he got us out of the ditch. He was neighbor to us so that we can be neighbor to others. That's the rule, right? The rule is love God first, most of all, and keep your eye on your neighbor. Okay? Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thanks for being my neighbor. Help me to be a good neighbor too. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Fred Rogers was a Presbyterian pastor, and he was also the host of a children's show on television called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Now, Fred Rogers believed that everyone had value in the eyes of God and everyone was loved by God. And so Fred Rogers would put on a cardigan sweater, zipper, and he'd have his canvas tennis shoes, and he would play with puppets, like maybe Daniel Tiger. And then there would always be this beautiful song. It's a beautiful day in God's neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Our gospel reading for tonight is about doing. More importantly, it's about what's already been done. There is a lawyer, a legal expert in the Bible, and he wants to ask Jesus, the rabbi, the teacher, what he needs to do. And you heard in our first reading for tonight, lots of do, and don't do, right? Do's and don'ts. He wants to know what he needs to do to get into heaven, to inherit eternal life. Now, the irony, of course, is you and I both can smile as we hear the story read because we know that it's already done. It's already done. That's the short, simple answer. So you don't have to do anything now that Jesus has done everything. And yet, because our text for tonight is about discipleship, and next week is about discipleship, and the following week is about discipleship, characteristics of what it means to be a disciple, well, then it means we need to go and do everything. You know the Great Commission. Go, make disciples, and do everything that Jesus has commanded you. So it's a done deal. And yet, the doing is like forever. Now, this man knew the Bible, the lawyer, and he said, Shema, and the Leviticus Holiness Code. I mean, quite astute. He pulls out Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus 19, and he combines it and says, well, according to the Bible, love God first and most, and love your neighbor the way God loves you and the way God loves your neighbor. And Jesus said, wow, do this, because that's what he's asking. What do I need to do? Do this and you will live. It's a present tense verb, which means keep doing this. It's not once and done. Although through Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross, it is once and done for you, so that you can spend the rest of your life doing all that Jesus has commanded. Not to get justified. Not to get sanctified. But we do what we do for the glory of God. For the praise of Jesus in his name and for his name. And for the sake of our neighbor. As a dear professor told me once at seminary, God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. So get doing. Now, when Jesus said, you've answered well, go and you will live, do this, did you notice that the lawyer, desiring to justify himself? That's where we get in trouble all the time, isn't it? Trying to justify ourselves. When we know, in fact, from Scripture, we know according to our Lutheran confessions that we are justified by faith alone, in Christ alone, through the grace of Almighty God alone. It's a done deal. But this lawyer who wanted to put Jesus to the test, I'm not so sure he was sincere. He wanted to put Jesus to the test. He stood up. I mean, consider the posture. He stood up to Jesus. In your face, Jesus. He did not bend the knee, the posture of a disciple. You caught that, right? He stood up to Jesus. He did not bow the knee before Jesus. Jesus is the teacher. Jesus is the Son of God. Our Lord God Almighty, and so we don't stand toe-to-toe with him. Seeking
desiring to justify himself, he says, yeah, but there's a big problem here, because everybody has a different definition of neighbor. So who's my neighbor? And you know the story. I mean, it's so old, it probably, well, it takes a while to kind of smack us again on the side of the head, right? I mean, it's an amazing story. The Good Samaritan, it's so shocking, it's so disgusting, that it's got to bother you a little bit, doesn't it? I mean, it bothers me that two good, well, one was a pastor, a priest, the other one was a deacon, a council member, maybe council president, right? I mean, right? It's got to bother you that they were doing the right thing according to the law, the book. This person could be dead. I'd get contaminated. I'd be defiled. I couldn't lead worship. And there'd be a lot of disappointed people, right? You see how we rationalize almost everything? It's easy to come up with a good excuse, isn't it? I mean, let's face it, we can come up with an excuse for almost anything and everything if we're into doing. So Jesus tells the story about an incident that took place on this stretch of road that I've walked. It's from Jerusalem, 2,500 feet above sea level, down to Jericho, 17 miles, called the Bloody Path for a good reason. 17 miles, and then you get down, and it's like 1,300 feet below sea level. I mean, that's a big decline in 17 miles. And it's rugged, and there's lots of rocks. And no one in their right mind would travel that road alone. What was this guy thinking? So now we can get into the blame game, can't we? He just did something stupid. I mean, that happens to people when they do something stupid, right? Jesus doesn't put any judgment on this. Did you notice that? He just tells the story. He just lays it out there for people and says, well, you got the priest and the Levite, and they passed by. And so the hearer is left to say, oh, why did they pass by? Why was that guy traveling alone? You see, we're the ones that become judge and jury, I suppose. But that darn Samaritan, that half-breed, the one that, well, we just don't particularly like, the enemy, right? Those darn Republicans, those darn Democrats. Why can't everybody just be a socialist? Right? We're communists, for crying out. You see what I'm getting at? I mean, everybody's got somebody that we just don't particularly like those Samaritans. And we like to keep them in their places, right? And we like to avoid them, not come in contact with them. And lo and behold, the hero in this story, when Jesus says, the question was, who's my neighbor? And Jesus said, who proved to be neighbor? I mean, the question of loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself, I mean, that's pretty simple, Jesus says. So who, you asked about doing. You said, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? What do I need to do to get into heaven? Jesus said, well, who did it? And did you notice that the lawyer did not even say the name? Samaritan? He just says, well, the one that showed him mercy. The one that shows us mercy. Going into the ditch of death and dying for our sins. The Good Samaritan Jesus. And he is Lord of all. And he says, go and do likewise. I love the word likewise. Because, well, everybody says, well, what does that mean? Well, like Jesus, go and likewise, like Jesus, do, right? It's pretty simple. Now, the problem we can run into with a text like so familiar, the Good Samaritan parable, is that you can get out of seminary and be 25 years old, and so here you are, out of seminary, you're preaching for the first time in Lake Lillian, Minnesota, and you come across this three-year lectionary, and you're working really hard on a Saturday on Luke 10. for your sermon on Sunday. And then there's a knock on the door because your office is in the church. It's right next to the parsonage. And it's like a 26-year-old gal. And she said, "Can you help me?" And I said, "Well, what do you need?" And she says, "Well, I was dropped off here last night, but I need someone to take me into Wilmer." Well, it was a little safer back in those days, being 26 years old, and there's about a 25, 26-year-old gal needing a ride, right? But I'm busy working on my sermon. And I have responsibilities. I have duties. But doesn't God have an amazing sense of humor? Because the sermon I'm working on is on the Good Samaritan and what it means to practice hospitality and what it means to be neighbor. And so it's one thing to preach. It's another thing to practice. Now, I'm not real proud of myself. I mean, I could come up with all kinds of rationale, you know, like, well, I'm not going to take a gal by myself into Wilmer. I mean, that's setting me up, right? I mean, I'm too smart for that. So I tried to pass the buck. I made some phone calls. Nobody's around. I'm going, jeepers, this is taking a lot of time. I got a sermon to write. And I thought, well, I got to at least find somebody to travel in there with me. Couldn't find anybody. I said, you know, I can't find anybody. She said, so you can't help me? Pastor? You're the pastor here? You're the pastor? You can't help me? So I did the right thing for the wrong reason. You ever been there? You ever done the right thing for the wrong reason when you didn't have your heart in it? I did. I suppose I would have said I wasted about 3 hours of my time when I could have, should have, been working on my sermon on the Good Samaritan for the next day. This is Saturday. But I took her in to a kind north of Wilmer Park, a deserted area, kind of a rundown area, kind of shady. And then I had to wait for about 40, 45 minutes because there's nobody there. I mean, it's kind of deserted. And I said, "You sure that this is where you're supposed to meet the person?" "Yeah, I think so." But after about 40 minutes, then a bad car, right? I mean, a car that's kind of almost broken down shows up. And I said, "Is this it?" "I don't know." She gets out, gets into the car, disappears. I mean, that's been over 35 years. I still remember that. Maybe it's just me. I'm sorry, folks. But when Jesus tells parables, they get under my skin. They bother me. Go and do likewise? Really? I mean, if it was just somebody else saying it, I could live with it. But when it comes out of the mouth of Jesus, it grates. Some of you know I've been reading this past week a book by Rosaria Butterfield. It's not only a good read, it's an excellent read, it's a necessary read, it's an essential read if you're serious about following Jesus, seriously. Because it's all about hospitality, and she says in her book that hospitality, when it is practiced by a disciple of Jesus, is where a stranger becomes a neighbor and a neighbor becomes family of God. Now, Rosaria Butterfield was raised by a feminist and taught to be a feminist. She has a PhD in English, has taught at Syracuse University in New York. And she was a proponent for LGBTQ, etc. And she helped to get that legislation passed. She was a practicing lesbian. And then because of radical, ordinary hospitality by a pastor and his wife, because of long-term acceptance of the one who bears the image of God and not approval of a particular lifestyle or sin, she got converted and came to faith in Jesus Christ. Got married. She and her husband have been married for 15, 20 years. They've adopted 3 kids. Every Sunday after church, they host a meal in their home for strangers and neighbors in the neighborhood and people from church, etc. And she said, if you're going to practice biblical hospitality, you need to understand something. Your food budget is going to double or triple. But Jesus never said that to be neighbor means that it's going to be easy or it's going to be convenient or it's going to cost nothing. In fact, when he talked about discipleship, what did he say? Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Talk about hospitality or the lack thereof. He says, leave the dead to bury the dead. Jesus says, no one who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. These are not my words, folks. What does the law say? Read the book, the scriptures, right? What I'm saying is, these words from this very familiar text for tonight bother me. Rosaria Butterfield says that the homes we have do not belong to us. They are instruments and tools from God for His glory and for the practice of hospitality in the name of Jesus. Which means, you've heard me say this about church buildings, when they sit empty, it's poor stewardship. When we have a guest room in our house and it's empty, I believe that there are tears flowing on the face of Jesus. Not easy, not without risk, not without a cost, not convenient, but it's our gospel for tonight. Because in the name of Jesus, it's done. Your name is written in heaven. You're saved by grace alone. So that you and I can do everything that Jesus has spoken. Imagine that. Go and do likewise. I read a story this past week. A mother whose name is Susan. And she has a little girl, Aubrey Jo. I love that name, Aubrey Jo. It kind of flows off the tongue, you know what I mean? So Susan and her little Aubrey Jo is about that age where she's getting potty trained. Some of us can relate to that. And Susan was fixing supper. And her little daughter, who's in the 2, 3, 4-year-old class in Sunday school, has been learning that if you need help, you just need to ask God. That's what she's being taught in Sunday school. And so Aubrey Jo has the bathroom door open, and she's in there using the potty. And mom's fixing supper, and all of a sudden Susan said, I hear my little daughter say, God! God! And then there's a pause. And with her sweet little voice, God, God. And so Susan can't take it anymore. So she says, finish your sentence, Aubrey Jo. God, would you wipe me? Because in Sunday school, she's learning that if you need help, you just ask God. So Susan said, I went over to the door, walked in, and I said, Aubrey Jo, God sent me. The inheritance is yours. Go and do likewise. It's a beautiful day in God's neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Please, won't you be my neighbor, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.